The Provoke Podcast, brought to you by Provoke Media and produced by the international broadcast specialist, Marketeers.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Provoke Media Podcast. This is Arun Sudarman, Editor-in-Chief at Provoke Media, and I'm very happy to be joined today by the Global Head of Corporate Affairs at KPMG International, Jane Laurie. Jane, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you, Arun. Thank you for having me back. And it's great to speak to you again.
Yeah, it's been a while since I think we had you on the podcast, but I saw you not that long ago in Davos in January. I know people sometimes hate to hear about, you know, your Davos meetings, not necessarily a popular topic, but you ran a really interesting session, I thought, in Davos, which I didn't actually go to, but you kind of filled me in on what had happened. And you wrote a very interesting column on the Provoke Media website. And this session looked at the intersection of AI and ESG. Now, there was no shortage of AI conversation at Davos, but yours focused specifically on AI and ESG, and you brought together corporate affairs heads to discuss that area specifically. So I wonder if you could perhaps just give us a little background and a little context into why you ran that session, and then we can perhaps talk about what you took out of it.
Perfect, Arun. And yes, it was great to see you. And I agree, Davos isn't always everybody's favorite topic of conversation. It also feels like a long time ago now, yeah. But you're right. I think AI, as anybody who has sort of read about Davos, attended Davos, AI was definitely front and center. But what I wanted to do was bring together some of our sort of expert colleagues to talk about AI and the intersection of AI and ESG and really think about, you know, is AI friend or foe? Mm. So I think it's something that we see and we talked about, you know, is it binary? Is it one or the other? Is it a force for good, or is it something we should be very afraid of? And the reality, I think the conversation was fascinating because the reality is, of course, it's a bit of both. Mm-hmm. And actually, and we can explore this a bit more, but we looked at it through the lens of ESG because I think one of the things that sometimes we underestimate is the environmental impact of AI, both positively and negatively. So there's no doubt that we can use AI as a force for good to solve some of those bigger, really complicated environmental issues. But equally, we know that the footprint of AI is just enormous. Mm. All sorts of numbers we can come back to. So we looked a little bit about the environmental impact, but then importantly, we moved on to talk about the societal impact and also, of course, the governance impact. So again, we can explore it a bit more, but I think the conversation was around actually the role for corporate affairs really covers E, S, and G. So we need to be thinking about how do we think about AI so that we can be part of the debate, educate our business leaders, make sure that we're thinking about this in a sort of responsible and ethical way. Mm-hmm. While still not slowing down the progress, because, and you and I have talked a bit about this, you know, as you become more mature in your career, it's easy to reject these sort of major changes. It's easy to reject them a little bit because it goes against our natural order of things. Mm. So I think that was the conversation about what is our role as corporate affairs? Mm-hmm. How do we help navigate what is a really increasingly complex issue of AI and how AI intersects with ESG.
Mm. So there's a lot we can delve into there, particularly in terms of, I think, attitudes towards AI. And we'll talk about that in a moment. But before that, I wondered, what would you say were the key insights from the session in terms of whether generative artificial intelligence, you know, all the kind of platforms that we're seeing explode at the moment, whether they will be helpful when it comes to corporations accomplishing their ESG goals, or will it actually pose a threat?
Yeah, so well, you make a really good point there by calling it out as generative AI. Mm. So one of the things we talked about was obviously there are all sorts of different machine learning models. You've got generative AI, which of course we've had the explosion with ChatGPT, which really is only been around in the form it has been for about a year, mm-hmm. just over a year.
Yep.
But the adoption apparently is the fastest adoption of any technology in history, wow. which I think sort of tells you something. So we sort of had the conversation about AI more generally and the ways you can use AI. And the way I sort of think about it kind of simply is you either use it to evaluate content, almost like looking in the rearview mirror, mm-hmm. or you use it to produce content, which is slightly more sort of, you know, creative and forward-looking. And I think the conversation we had around ESG was to start with, actually, it's the analysis of data and the ability to predict trends and future trends in sort of environment particularly mm-hmm. that could be very helpful to us. So as you think about ESG reporting, if you get to a position where, and this depends on business actually being open to share data and allowing sort of from a legal point of view, being able to share data, mm-hmm. you can start to see trends in what's working to solve decarbonization risks across sectors. Mm-hmm. And therefore, potentially, you can sort of speed up those solutions and actually roll them out more broadly. So the sort of insight from the conversation was around data analysis and being able to predict more sort of thoughtfully things are going to work. Mm-hmm. So that was definitely the positive insight. I think to your point, Arun, about, you know, what's the sort of negative and the insight was more around how do you make sure that you create a level playing field for the whole of the world? And this takes you into a whole new territory, which is that kind of geopolitical, the tension between the global north and the global south. Mm. And also, interestingly, the role that business is going to have to play in coming together to regulate AI in a way that creates the guardrails along with governments, because I don't think, and the conversation at the round table, I don't think governments are really yet equipped to be able to set up that framework that is going to allow us globally to regulate AI. Mm. So I think those are the two big insights. One was kind of, you know, looking back for data, and the other was sort of thinking forward and thinking about how do we create those guardrails globally.
Yeah, that's really well distilled. And I think the concerns about regulation are going to persist. I think we're seeing, you know, different countries grappling with it in different forms at the moment. From a corporate perspective, though, what also interests me is the potential for reputation risk from AI usage, ethics, bias. I can very easily see situations developing where companies, what they say they're doing with AI doesn't necessarily match up with what they are doing with AI, or conversely, what they don't say they're doing with AI doesn't match up with what they are doing. How seriously do you think companies are taking that, and how important is that, do you feel, to the corporate affairs mandate?
Well, I mean, I think it is incredibly important, as you say, and actually it's not something that we talk particularly at the round table, but certainly as a discipline in my own business at KPMG corporate affairs, we're thinking about how do you best use that AI. And of course, you know, I'm sure you're already sort of trialing and testing with ChatGPT and other sort of forms of AI. Mm-hmm. But we know, and we've seen cases already, haven't we? You've seen the media already. Mm-hmm. You know, I think there's legal cases where lawyers have actually used generative AI, and that's then been sort of questioned in court. So I think actually for me, Arun, this might sound slightly odd, but I think it's a really exciting time mm-hmm. for corporate affairs, because actually our role is to help businesses around the world, but, you know, including the businesses we're in, to set those guardrails and to be really clear about, you know, what is the framework that you should operate within to make sure that you're using it. Yes, you're using it so that you can innovate and drive the business forward, but you're not going to get into a situation where you have sort of reputational issues, you have legal issues, whether that's from hallucination, whether it's from bias, which goes back to a point that I think I made in the article that I wrote for podcast Provoke, which was really around, you know, how do you create that framework and how do you make sure that it not just looks at ethical, but it looks at sustainable, it looks at all of those sort of pieces that bring together something which is going to help the business navigate, which is going to become an increasingly difficult environment to operate, I think.
Well put. So potentially it is a very exciting time, I think, for corporate affairs, but I guess the next topic of discussion will be, are corporate affairs leaders ready for the AI era? And this is something that people have been talking about now, you know, for a year. We've done a lot of research on it. Everyone has, I think. You know, I've seen research from many publications and organizations across the world. The research we did in Asia was very interesting, I thought, because it showed that in-house comms leaders were quite wary of the rise of AI. And in fact, we have a webinar next week with the Institute for Public Relations, where we're discussing some of those findings. There seems to be a bit more readiness in other regions, but I wouldn't say that at least at the top of the function, the rise of AI is being welcomed as something that will help people help their jobs. And there's two aspects to this, of course, right? There's kind of the craft of comms, how will it change the work you're doing? And then there's all the reputational aspects that we just talked about. But either way, it doesn't feel to me like AI is really being welcomed by corporate affairs heads. How do you view it? I don't want you to feel like you're the sort of, you're representing all corporate affairs heads here, but how do you see it?
Well, I think it's a really good question, Arun, and I definitely feel, honestly, personally, I don't feel that I'm ready or equipped. And I look at, I've got quite an interesting sort of situation in that my son, who's 21, is a software engineer.
Oh, wow.
So he's a coder. So he's immersed in this stuff and he really understands it. Interestingly, my daughter specializes in ESG. So we've got that intersection of AI and ESG right at our sort of dining room table. But the reason I say that is I'm very clear that I do not have the right terminology. I don't understand the technical part of AI as well as I should. And I think this is the piece, in a way, people of certainly my generation have to be really careful that we don't just reject it because it seems too complicated, too difficult, too technical, because it's definitely coming, and I think there is so much we can learn from it. So I don't necessarily feel I am totally equipped, which means I am forcing myself to read all the books that are out there, you know, really sort of trying to get into the detail, because I think it is our responsibility to embrace it and to trial it. So even thinking about, most of us are responsible for putting together sustainability reports. You know, increasingly, there are tools out there that either can help you generate your sustainability report, or at least you can put it through to say, you know, am I guilty of greenwashing? Does this stack up from a logical and sort of ethical perspective? So there are tools that we're using, we're testing, but again, always within the constraint of ethical and legal requirements. So I don't know if I'm answering your question exactly, Arun, but I would say I don't feel as a discipline we are necessarily embracing it as much as we should. Actually, I've got a session next week with all of my corporate affairs people coming together, and we've invited somebody actually from Microsoft to talk to us about how they're applying their tools to their corporate affairs function. Because I want to be able to say, okay, if they're doing that, how do we break down the process of what we're doing and start to apply AI in a way that could, I think, really help us?
It's very...
So yeah, maybe the future generation, sorry, Ari, maybe the future generation who are already coming through will be much more open to this and probably much more sort of sophisticated in the way they talk about it as well.
Yeah, maybe. I think you would think perhaps that, you know, younger people working in comms might see it as a way to accelerate their career progression, which, you know, becomes less of a priority, I guess, if you're at the top of the function. It reminds me a little bit, if you remember when social media came along, and especially Twitter, and there was, you know, just a lot of skepticism about, maybe justified now, but there was a lot of skepticism from, as I recall, particularly in-house comms leaders of that era, and that's 15 years ago, you know, because it just wasn't something that was required for how they had successfully done their jobs. And I think what is going to happen is that a lot of these tools are going to become required to successfully do the job. And I guess that's part of the, you know, the progress that technology can kind of transform jobs. I suppose, and this was came through in your article as well, it's the pace of change also, which I think is, people can find quite uncomfortable. But yeah, it'll be interesting to watch. And it's funny you said you have a session with someone from Microsoft. They must really be in demand, because we have a session in a couple of weeks in Singapore. We have a roundtable, and we have one of the comms heads from Microsoft there.
Could be the same one, I guess.
It could be, yeah. I don't know if it's someone from Asia, but yeah, it could be the same one. But I remember it's the head of comms for Microsoft Asia, Lauren Myers-Kavanagh, and she spoke at another event we ran last year. And of course, a lot of people were asking her questions about AI. I think people think Microsoft have all the answers, by the way. So, you know, you can just ask people at Microsoft how to use Gen AI, and
exactly,
they'll tell you everything. Interestingly, she said, you really have to start kind of without AI and figure out, what are you trying to accomplish? What are the values that matter in terms of how you're going to accomplish something? And then, you know, you use that to figure out, okay, what is your ethical framework? What will you do? What won't you do? And she said, you know, you do require a certain amount of soul searching before you actually start, I guess, deploying extensively. And that made me think, because I think for a lot of people, it's very much been, well, let's just start using it and experimenting, and let's just see where it gets us. And it's same for us here at Provoke. But I do wonder, maybe, you know, maybe that kind of, I don't know, taking stock, thinking and planning before rushing in is worthwhile. I don't know. How do you see it?
Totally. Well, I think there's a reason they call Copilot Copilot, which is, you know, any AI really relies on human intervention.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, machine learning is based on us sort of educating machines, but the whole point is it's getting so sophisticated that we have to intervene less. So I think she's absolutely right. You have to start, and I actually think it's even down to, as well as your values and what you're trying to achieve, being really clear on what your process is. One of the things you said, and I'm going to kind of come back to that point now, when you were talking about whether sort of our generation are going to embrace it, I think there's a piece that we tend to get to where we get to because we have good judgment, we've got good gut feeling. And I think some people sort of reject AI because they think, well, I know in my gut, I've got the experience, I know how to respond to the situation. Mm. And I totally think that is never going to go away. However, the benefit of AI is that if we can, to my point about process, if we can break down some of the decisions that we're making and really sort of go back to, why am I making that decision? What's the experience I've got that gets me to make this decision? Then I think you can start to apply AI in a really interesting way.
Mm.
Because you're actually educating AI with your own experience and gut feeling. Mm. So I think there's a tension, but there's also a sort of creative tension, if you like, of taking our experience, our gut feeling, applying it with our values, but allowing machine learning and data to help us get to a better decision. And I think, you know, if I think about our role in corporate affairs, it's not always crisis management. It's more often than not the sort of the proactive piece. But if you could get to a position as a corporate affairs leader that you could use AI to more naturally predict what's going to happen in a crisis, and you could help a business navigate its way through issues in a faster, more ethical, and a better outcome way. That has to be part of our job. And in that regard, I think AI is something that, providing it's, you know, with the ethics and the values, that we can actually probably take corporate affairs further into the organization by using AI. Mm. Did that make sense?
Yeah, no, it does. But it actually made me think of when you mentioned the importance of gut feeling, of instinct, which I agree. I think they're hugely important traits, and they do get a lot of people. I mean, I think in this industry in particular, you can build whole careers on that. But I also wonder if, I don't know if unwillingness is too strong a word, but, at some point, comms has to be quantified, right? And I think, maybe that it's a similar sort of tendency to shy away, or maybe not even shy away, but because it's so hard to quantify the impact of comms in so many different ways, I wonder if that makes the function more reliant on kind of, knowing a good idea when they see one, knowing a good campaign when they see one, knowing a good response when they see one, rather than necessarily a mindset of, testing and evaluating and testing and evaluating. And that, of course, is something AI is really, really efficient and helpful at doing.
Yeah, it comes back to that friend or foe question, doesn't it? But my view, maybe being more of an optimist, I really see that this adds a huge amount of weight to what we do, because to exactly your point, Arun, I think it's always been very hard to quantify the impact of our role. But AI increasingly is allowing us to do that. So, we're doing a lot of work on looking at those sort of external signals and being able to sort of build and predict from a trust point of view or a reputation point of view, depending how you sort of talk about it in your business, be able to predict and demonstrate what we've done as a business that has actually improved our reputation or taken away from our reputation. And then that gives us, I think, much stronger language with the business to be able to evidence it from a data and insight point of view. So honestly, I think in that regard, AI is definitely our friend. And I think provided we don't see AI as sort of taking over our role, which honestly, I don't believe it does. I think it can enhance it, but I don't think it takes it away. I don't think it ever, I mean, famous last words, ask me in 10, 15 years time, but I don't think you're ever going to be able to take away that human instinctive, the intuition. I don't think you're ever going to be able to take that away in our function.
Well, it would have to advance a lot, I think. I mean, because I think we're all familiar now with using, ChatGPT or whatever it is. And I think it's a long way from replacing humans when it comes to making those kind of real-time crisis management decisions. It's
absolutely. Yeah. And I think when we get to that stage, Arun, and who knows what the future holds, but when you get to the stage of our function being taken over by AI, I kind of feel that business will be taken over by AI.
Comms will be the least of our worries at that point.
Absolutely. It's almost like our life will have been taken over by AI. And I think there are those kind of Black Mirror type scenarios that personally, I don't think we're going to get to. But I think the world is going to change in ways that we probably can't quite predict now. I think it's the Gates saying, isn't it, about how we sort of overestimate the change in the short term, but we underestimate the changes that can come in the long term. Yeah. And I think that's what we're facing now. People are very concerned about what's going to happen in the next couple of years. The reality is we just can't predict what the next 10, 15 years is going to look like.
Yeah, I think that sounds about right. Before we close, I wanted to ask you just a couple of things. As we talked a lot about AI, and I wanted to make sure I asked you about ESG as well, which has kind of become, as you know, a somewhat loaded phrase. If you read, and I'm sure you do, read reports from America, and there's a huge, seems to be a lot of momentum around, killing the phrase ESG. Of course, there's a lot of backlash against ESG policies from right-wing politicians. And then, you know, there's also, you know, green hushing because of scrutiny of ESG policies from, you know, NGOs and so on. So where do you think we're at in terms of ESG? Because you seem quite happy to use it. Is this just a US thing, or is it starting to impact the rest of the world?
Gosh, I mean, it's such a good question. I think I'd start off by saying I find it all very, very sad, actually, that we have these conversations. It clearly is becoming a hugely political conversation. So yes, absolutely, very, very aware of it. I think it is more acute in America, as you say. And you see a lot of businesses, I mean, you know, there are quotes abounding from CEOs who say, I'm going to stop talking about ESG, but that doesn't mean I'm going to stop doing it. So they're going to focus on delivering against their sort of climate reduction targets, delivering against the societal targets, but they're going to stop talking about ESG to avoid this kind of politicization. And I think very sadly as well, you start to see, you know, even from a legal point of view, some of those sort of activist shareholders, you know, actually putting pressure on businesses to move away from this. But the way I look at it is, you know, for me, sustainability and ESG, when you look at it through a business lens, is all about the long-term viability of a business. And so I sort of ask myself the question, if you were investing in a business, are you more likely to invest in a business that is going to be able to adapt to climate changes or adapt to sort of social changes? So I think you're more likely to want to invest in a business that is really thinking long term. So I think if you look at ESG, really in the terms of the sort of resilience and viability of a business, then honestly, I don't think it's going to go away. But I think over the next sort of 2 or 3 years, maybe longer, and it partly depends on the results of all sorts of elections around the world. I mean, I can't even remember the number of elections that we're going through this year, but it is just incredible. So it'll partly depend on the outcome of that. So I think there will be a lot of conversation around the terminology, but I would hope there is less conversation around the actions that businesses are taking.
Yeah, I hope so.
So I don't know what you see, Arim.
I see pretty much the same thing. But I agree with you. I think it's a real shame that business is now saying less, because the risk is, you know, that means they're doing less. And, you know, you kind of need that scrutiny, actually, of business. You know, it works hand in hand, right? I feel like the commitments have to be tested and scrutinized, and that kind of makes everyone better.
Yeah. Maybe one thing, I mean, there was, interestingly, in the US, actually, there was a study done recently that showed that companies are actually spending more on ESG. So I don't think they're backing off. Yeah. But you do make a really good point, which actually I think is an important one, which is if it stops people overcommitting and overpromising, but actually focusing on the detail of what they need to do to become a sustainable business, maybe that is a positive
thing.
I agree. So provided it doesn't politicize people out of the actions, I'm with you on that one.
I agree with that. And I think, you know, there has been a lot of, maybe not a lot, but there's been overpromising, there's been virtue signaling. So maybe a correction was needed. I feel like there's something of an overcorrection in America, at least. But yes, I think I'm also positive that about business in general, that they are kind of committed to these goals. You know, certainly all the businesses I've spoken to, there's no sense that they are using this as an opportunity to backslide on their commitments. So yeah, let's remain hopeful. I just think that the more we can talk openly about it, the better. So I think you're right. I think the political climate will play a big role in that. So I think you're right.
And I think I'm sure as you look at all the changes that are happening from a climate point of view, as a business, you just can't ignore that, can you? And if you think about even from an opportunity point of view, with the sort of, you know, the move towards renewable energy, all the changes, of course, as a business, you're going to want to embrace that. So I think you'll continue to see CEOs and businesses taking those actions. Just exactly as you say, you might see them not talk about it quite so much, at least in the terms of ESG.
Yeah, sure. Well, Jane, thank you so much for your time. This was such a fun conversation. About
it's been great.
quite important topics, but yeah, it's very interesting to see how these things are developing. Look forward to getting you on the podcast in the not too distant future, and maybe we won't need you. Maybe we can just do it completely through AI.
Absolutely. The next one. Yeah, I'll work on that one. I'll read a book on that one.
All right, cool. Excellent.
So, Rune, it's lovely to see you.
Yeah.
Take care.
Thank you, Jane.
You've been listening to the Provoke podcast, brought to you by Provoke Media and produced by the international broadcast specialist, Marketeers.